Shabbat Shalom. A little more than a week ago, we lost a great man, the journalist Tim Russert. And like many of you, for me, it felt like I lost a personal friend. Every Sunday morning, I would get up, I would make the morning coffee, and I would sit down and watch Meet the Press. And on Meet the Press, Tim Russert sat down with all of the leaders of the world, and he asked them the real tough questions. Each question had a probing precision, and his point, Russert's whole point, wasn't to antagonize, it wasn't to create entertainment, it wasn't to get a rise out of the guests, but rather, Tim Russert simply wanted to get at the bottom line. He wanted to understand the truth. And as viewers, we felt that he was our advocate. He helped us understand just a little better the complicated world that we live in. In our lives, Russert served as a leading journalist. But journalism wasn't the most important thing in his life. A few years ago, Tim Russert wrote the following about fatherhood. When Luke was born, my career became secondary to the blessing of being a father. When my life is over, I know that the most important thing I'll be judged on is what kind of father I was. Now, many of you know that Deborah and I are expecting our first baby this summer, so I'm not surprised that I was drawn to Russert's comments. But what really strikes me is that while Tim Russert built a career as a journalist, someone who describes what happened in the past, the most important work in his life, being a father, is what he did for the future. Russert's firm belief in the future reminds me of a famous midrash. The Roman emperor comes across a very old Jewish man who's hunched over uncomfortably, and he's planting a seed, planting a tree. And the emperor inquires, "You're an old man, you're like 100 years old, and yet you're going through all of this trouble to plant a tree? Do you even plan on eating the fruit from this tree?" And the old man calmly answers, "If I'm worthy enough, I will eat the fruit. And if not, then as my ancestors planted for me, so I will plant for my children." This midrash, along with Tim Russert's comments on fatherhood, they reinforce the importance of giving of ourselves for the sake of our children. We give of ourselves and make sacrifices in the present to assure that there will be something better in the future. And this includes more than just providing for our own families. The elderly man who planted the tree, like him, as Jews, we plant trees certainly for the benefit of our children, but not exclusively for them. We plant trees for all of our future generations and for the future of humanity. And just remember Noah. Noah does what he's told. He builds the ark. He saves people from this flood. But he only saves his immediate family. He does nothing to try and convince God to save the rest of humanity. And because Noah was only able to see a future through the lens, through a future for his own family, he was not qualified to be the patriarch of the Jewish people. As Jews, we give of ourselves to secure a future, a better future for the entire world. And through our actions, we affirm our hope that tomorrow will be better than today. We remember the past, make blessings and sanctify the present, but all is done with an eye towards the future, a future that extends beyond ourselves and reaches past the here and now. For as a people, we know that tomorrow will be better than today. Recognizing the brightness of the future, that tomorrow will be brighter than today, it's a theme in this week's Torah portion, Shlach Lecha. While in the wilderness, the Israelites sent scouts into the promised land, and the scouts return, and they claim it would be too difficult to conquer the land. Despite pleas from Moses and Aaron, the negativity of these scouts spreads. The entire nation cries out in rebellion. Rather than setting out to pave the path to a future in the promised land, the people beg to return to the past. They plead with Moses, "Let's go back to Egypt." Because the people are paralyzed by the past and unable to step towards the future, God condemns this generation to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. However, there is a certain man, Hosea, who is one of the scouts, but he disagrees with the negative report. Now, he sees the land along with the rest of his scouts, but his conclusion, Hosea's conclusion, is radically different. While the other spies, these scouts, claim that the land will devour the initial Israelite settlers, Hosea reports that the land is robust, and once conquered, it will nurture and sustain the Jewish people. The spies, who are still reeling from their experience in slavery, they see a land that's dangerous and unwelcoming to new inhabitants. But Hosea sees the promised land, a land flowing of milk and honey, and a land filled with a future of possibility. Now, in the middle of all this, Moses changes Hosea's name. And the change reflects Hosea's capacity for optimism. At first, he's called Hosea, meaning saving. But then, his name is changed to Yehoshua, Joshua. God will save. Joshua's new name underscores his commitment to a brighter future for the Israelites. And because of this commitment, after 40 years of wandering, it is Joshua, Yehoshua, who leads the people into the land and towards their future. Joshua's belief in the future, that serves as a foundation for our faith. And for 2,000 years, it was this belief in the future that held us and sustained us and fed our hope that one day we would return to our promised land. And after the establishment of the land of the state of Israel, and after numerous wars and attempts to wipe out Israel, it's that same belief in the possibility of tomorrow that keeps Israel going today. The belief that tomorrow will be better than today, it inspired the great Israeli songwriter Naomi Shemer immediately after the Six-Day War to write the following, the famous song, Machar, Tomorrow. Tomorrow, when the army takes off its uniforms, our hearts will turn silent. After, each person will build with his own two hands what he dreamed today. All this is not a fable or a dream. It's clear as the afternoon light. All this will happen tomorrow, if not today. And if not tomorrow, then the day after. Today, after 60 years of statehood, Shemer's words still resound with meaning. In the next 60 years, as Israel moves towards that blessed number of 120, may this belief in the possibility of tomorrow continue to inspire a new generation of Zionists to loudly proclaim, as we do every morning in the Kriyat Shema, Or Chadash Al Tzion Ta'ir, a new light will shine upon Zion. Now concerning Israel and beyond, may our belief in the future, may it compel us to ask the tough questions. Tim Russert, he saw fatherhood as his most important job, and his memory inspires us to ask, do our families come first, not only in our hearts, but in our actions? Are we investing, and it's an investment, are we investing enough time in our children so that they will become better people and live better lives? And like the old man who was hunched over, planting a tree, how can we give of ourselves today to create a better world for tomorrow? And finally, what are we doing for Israel to realize Naomi Shemer's vision that the brightness of tomorrow will radiate as clearly as the afternoon light? Joshua's vision of the promised land, it still exists. The bright possibility of tomorrow compels us to look beyond today. And when we are able to see our place in the world, like Tim Russert, the old man planting the tree, Joshua, and Naomi Shemer, then those cherished words which we sang just a moment ago, from generation to generation, Lador Vador, will light our way to a bright future. Shabbat Shalom.